You know, it's really sad that you have to go through some bad apple experiences down here. Bad apple. But you know, the corporations, there's a video about the bad apples corporations. It's called the corporations made in Canada. You ought to watch it. I think it's free online. The corporation is here to destroy the earth, destroy you, destroy your heart, destroy your soul. The corporation is pretending to be a human, but it's not a human. But it identifies as a human to be able to run a business. But it feeds off the lifeblood of the human. It's not alive, it's dead, you know. It's a dead corpse. That's why it's called a corp. Now this person is going to make me suffer in front of me. He's in the wrong turning lane, he or she. The left turning lane. But he made the wrong decision. Now he's got his right turn signal on. So when the light turns green, he's going to sit there and wait for people to go around him instead of go ahead and pay in the cost, you know. He's the one that made the mistake, not me. Now I'm going to have to suffer at a red light because he made the mistake. It's really sad. These people, they make a commitment and then it costs you because they don't want to follow through with their commitment. Typical reality. Typical. It was a female. She made a commitment and then she's costing everybody else a problem because she changed her mind, you know. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I see this kind of stuff all the time on the highway. Well, so back to what I was saying. So the corporation's got to make that profit, right? All of them are guilty. They're all guilty. And if they try to put you under some kind of guilt, shame, condemnation because you're not loyal to the corporate system, they can go jump because they're not loyal to the American people. They're not loyal to the citizens and the people. It's really a sad situation to look out and see what we're dealing with. And so you have to go through some bad apple experiences to really wake up to what's going on. And it's a good thing though, because it shows you how this is not your home. This is not heaven. And this place is not going to get any better. The Bible says it's going to get worse. Everybody says, oh, you can be a change agent and change the world. No, it's going to get worse, the Bible says. It's going to get worse. And you know it's going to get worse because God takes the church out of here and 666 gets put on everybody's forehead and hand because the restrainer is gone. The Holy Spirit's gone. And the people who are left behind are so evil they have to put 666 on them to track everything they do because everybody's so evil. And you can actually see it with AI, with the computers, that 666 is on the way. It's already here. It's just waiting for the church to be raptured. Elon Musk is a part of it. Amazon's a part of it. The barcodes were a part of it. Everything is in place. It's just the church. The only thing resisting the mark of the beast is the church. until he who let it let be taken out of the way. That's the church. And so these bad apple experiences should give you hope for heaven, not hope for this place. There's too many, like Law and Crime. There's a channel on YouTube, Law and Crime. Every day somebody's killing their spouse, killing their kids, killing their parents. It's really all for money, right? So they end up, they think they're going to get by with it, and they end up in jail, poisoning somebody. And it's like, you watch that, you can watch the cheater shows, you can watch the Jerry Springer, you can just see the ignorance and the rebellion and the insanity of people. And people think the grass is greener on the other side, and it never is. And they don't wake up to it, and they just keep going through the cycles, the repeat, same stuff over and over and over and over and over and over. And they claim to pray to God, but God don't hear them because everything that they're doing is contrary. They need to repent. The only thing he's going to hear from them is repentance, until they repent and get right, you know. They lie and lie and lie and lie. And then when they get caught, they pray. Instead of asking forgiveness for lying and using and abusing people and being a narcissistic agent, they need to go to God in repentance first. It's everybody else's fault. They point their finger and blame everybody else. Have you ever had anybody project everything onto you? They are the one doing it, but they project everything onto you. I mean everything. Have you ever experienced that? And you're just, it boggles your mind. You're like, did you just say that? Are you for real? Everything they do, they project onto you. Now, have you ever experienced that? That boggles the mind. And you can just, at first, it's like a shock. And then after it happens enough times, you just start to laugh and you're just like, all right, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Because they can't get right. If they have to project everything, and I mean everything, I never thought I'd see that before. But if they have to project everything onto you, I mean everything, and even if they take, admit wrong, it's only a show. Okay, yeah, they only admit it as a show. It's a fake reality show that they're putting out there. Now, why would they do something like that? Because they want to get you to believe that it's all your fault. Events, if they think they can say it enough, they can brainwash you enough to get you to take responsibility for their insanity. And eventually, if they were able to get you to do that, to make you that crazy, if they could play that game, then if they kill somebody, they could blame that on you. They could do anything and blame it on you and get by scot-free from something really evil, you know. And it's not like it's a new thing, but when you experience it, it's new to you, you know. When you experience it, it's new to you. And you're like, wow. And then when you finally wake up and say, oh, you just start laughing about it because this person's sick.
Hello, how are you today?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much.
Doing this?
You said it.
What's in that bag? So yeah, the bad apple experiences are really good for you because it makes you look to heaven and makes you realize that if you have a sound mind and you know the truth, that you're blessed beyond. The more you experience it, the more you realize you're blessed because you have the spirit of truth that abides with you forever. And so you can be very thankful. And I mean very thankful for what you've been through. Because as a person gets older,
all right, I got it.
Okay. All right, thank you. License is in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not gonna let you leave without that.
Okay.
I hope you have a great day, okay?
Okay. I was in the bank line making a deposit for a business. And anyway, so yeah, if a person's just constantly lying, whether they're lying to themselves or not, or just playing lying to you playing games, it don't really matter. If somebody tells enough lies, they start to believe their own lies. And when they do that, then over time, their mind, they get like Alzheimer's and stuff like that. Because if you're believing lies or telling lies all the time, you have to remember your lie, and it's just sad. And you can just pray for them that they get saved. Because a liar, somebody who's always lying and contradicting themselves, they're not saved. They're not saved. You can't, I don't care if you were the CIA, I mean, if you joined the CIA and the CIA said you had to lie all the time, and you're saved, you say, nah, I don't think I'll have to take this job because I'm saved. And if there's people who say, I'm saved and I joined the CIA and they make me lie, well, you better quit that job. Like I say, you can let them reveal who they are over time and through the cycles of time. Everything's a revelation. So when you step into a situation, that person's character will reveal itself, and that person will reveal themselves by their words they don't say, by the words they do say, by their body language, and everything that they do is revealing themselves. You can tell if somebody has a hard heart, and if they have a hard heart, they're willing to do everything, anything. A stony heart, you know. God is trying to give you a soft heart, you know, whoredom wine and new wine take away the heart. So certain things that they brag about or done, or that tells you they have a hard heart. And they never repented and said, oh, I repented of this. They have a hard heart. And if they have a hard heart, they're willing to do about anything, you know. Anything under the sun. You know, when you watch that Law and Crime show every day, and there's like people being interrogated for hours and they're sitting there lying. And then they slip up and they say something only the killer would know. You know that there's righteous judgment in the universe. I don't care if the cops are saved or not saved. I don't care about the purse, what they're doing. But there's righteous judgment in the universe because the universe is based on truth. And the truth always comes out. They can go on for a long time. Let's say somebody was poisoning somebody. So then they said, oh, okay. So they get a taste of, they enjoy that or something. They're sadistic, you know. These narcissists are sadistic. They're always sadistic, and out of their mouth, they're sadist, you know. So eventually they say sadistic stuff, and it's like they enjoy being a sadistic person. So you start to see the pattern that they enjoy being evil, you know. And so let's say somebody they poisoned somebody and they got by with one. Then they did another one. And then they did another one. And eventually the pattern starts to reveal itself. Unless they're moving from city to city, state to state, job to job. The pattern starts to reveal itself and they get caught. And they go pull up the person who's in the grave and test them. Yep. They poisoned three people. So it starts to reveal itself. And so the universe, what I'm saying is they get addicted to their evil. they get addicted to being a con artist, a con. Unless they get saved, it gets worse. It gets worse. You can't break an addiction unless you get the Holy Spirit and get saved. But they get worse over time. Unless they do some inner renewal and ask God to save them and give them a new heart and a new way of thinking, they just get worse. And you might hear from them 20, 30 years, you might not, but they just keep, they're the same. They never grow. On the highway, it says, together we grow closer. They never grow closer to God. That sign on the highway, together, to T-O-G-E-T-H-E-R, that points to the heirs, together, to get heirs, we grow closer. That's face-to-face turning. Without a face-to-face turning, you're not going to grow. And so, if you don't have anybody in the house to grow with, get in the Word and get face off with the Word, listen to some good preaching, and maybe talk to somebody online or something. But you're going to grow if you face off with anybody that's halfway decent. Both people have to grow, you know. The cutting, the turning, it's all about growth, you know. It's all about growth. We'll go down here and see what it takes to renew your driver's license. If the line is low, I'm gonna do it now, you know. Or get a pamphlet to study up on. You know, if you look at life from the outside in, you know, so you step outside and look at yourself from the outside and the circuit that you're in, the people who's influencing you and what you listen to, and you really decide you want to grow no matter if everybody else stays stagnated or if everybody else is going to hell in a handbasket, you want to grow. And once you make that decision, not your bloodline, not your culture, not your coworkers, not your spouse, nobody's going to stop you from growth. I don't care who it is. And eventually they'll either grow with you and they'll give up the world, the flesh, prior life, and they'll go with you, or they'll be left behind. You know, it talks about pilgrim's progress. That's what his life was about. You know, he had to leave people behind. They don't want to get serious. And so he was serious. And so he walked the pilgrim's path and they got sidelined, you know. They always get sidelined, and if they stay sidelined too long, it's almost impossible to change. You know, if you're struggling for freedom your whole life, and then once you taste that freedom, you're not going to give it up. And no matter how much they try to steal your freedom and your peace from you, you're not going to give it up, because that's what you fought for your whole life. There's no way you're going to give it up. And they think they can talk you into it. Why would I give up my peace for chaos? It ain't gonna happen. You're wasting your time. Unless you bring peace, step away. Unless you bring peace, step aside, turn around, step off. If you don't bring peace, step away. That's all I can say. If you don't bring truth, turn around. If your words don't improve the silence, go away. Adios. Peace like a river. There's too many verses about peace, the peace of God, peace like a river, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. And anybody who says, oh, you want peace over blah, 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 yeah, you should be bringing peace too. If you can't bring peace, we don't have a relationship. If you can't bring peace, we don't have nothing. That's a fruit of the Spirit. If you can't bring peace, you probably can't bring love. And I know you can't bring truth, because peace, love, and truth, they're all on the same hand in the same verse. You can't separate them. Love brings peace. Truth brings peace. Peace brings love. Peace brings truth. You can't have any truth without peace, because you're sitting there meditating, chewing the cud on the truth. And as you chew the cud, you can only do it in peace. If there's noise around, you can't chew the cud to get rightly divided in your mind. Because if you're chewing the cud with all the noise, you're not thinking right. It's distractions. Rewind that, because you probably don't even know what I'm talking about unless you're really saved. What do you mean, chewing the cud? That tells me how dumb you are. You don't know what that means? Where you been all your life? If you're 40 years old plus and you don't know what chewing the cud means, I feel sorry for you. You really just start, you're like a little baby, spiritual baby. If you don't know what that means, I really don't know what to tell you. That tells me you're like first grader. If you're spiritual, if you're really saved and you never heard that, you're at baby steps right now. When the cow chews the cud, he regurgitates it and chews it some more. The cow regurgitates the food and chews the cud. And so when you take the truth and you rightly divide it and you regurgitate it and you meditate on it and you turn it over and turn it over and turn it over and turn it over and you start to rightly divide the word of truth and you say, oh, now it's all the puzzle pieces are fitting together. So you regurgitate and chew that cud over and over and over and over and over and over. And then finally, oh, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Oh, that's what faith alone means. Oh, that's what it means to walk the path. That's what it means to get away from the world, the flesh, for life. Oh, that's what it means. But if you've never regurgitated the truth, I can't imagine you, if you have the Spirit of the truth, why are you not turning the truth over and over and over in your mind all the time, every day, year after year after year? Because you learn something new every time you do it. I don't understand anybody who doesn't do it, if they're saved. I can't grasp that concept. I see this lady out here who's driving this truck. She's an instructor. I'm gonna ask her about getting my driver's license renewed. See, she's outside instead of going in this stupid line, probably a line.